The following podcast is scheduled for one fall. From the heart of Broadway in historic downtown Cape Girardeau, this is Pro Wrestling Unscripted.
It's a big week of news in the world of professional wrestling, and you're tuned into the right spot to hear all about it on Pro Wrestling Unscripted this week. We're going to talk about some injuries, we're going to talk about some huge signings, and everything in between. Let me introduce your panel for tonight. My name is Shannon Young, I am Mr. 100. Down at the end of the table is smiling Ace of Gray, the five-star man.
Because that thing that I told you that I thought might happen, it happened.
Which is the thing?
The spoiler for Impact.
Oh, he is?
Yeah.
He's back?
It happened.
We'll talk about that tonight too, why not? Allie, all-time low A-Bear to my right.
Hi.
Wearing the super, super cool, what do they call those? A sock hat? Is it a Scully? It's not a Scully. What do you kids call that? Sock hat?
Is it a sock hat? Or a beanie?
I'm going to go with that.
And to my left, the Big D, Dalton Anthony.
Yo.
All right. Before we talk about the hot topic, Asa read a spoiler. We're going to get the spoiler out of the way now because...
God, that was beautiful.
This bothers me.
No, timeout. That was a solid joke. There you go.
Asa, please tell everybody the big news.
So I had seen a thing where there was someone reportedly like backstage at the Impact tapings, and so spoiler, like jump ahead like a minute or 2 minutes if you don't want Impact spoiled for you. Final warning, here we go. Scott Steiner,
he's back.
No, he's back.
Oh.
And he's going to be Eli Drake's tag team partner.
Oh my God.
And they're going to wrestle LAX at Redemption for the titles because Eli Drake had the tag team case.
Oh, man. Those promos are going to be so racist.
They're going to be so baffling.
Are either of them fat?
No.
But, dang it.
But Conan is their manager still.
He is.
So.
That's exciting.
I'm not.
He can't really walk.
I'm not.
It's Scott Steiner.
Yeah, that's not going to bother Scott Steiner. He's wrestled so many countries.
Well, the odds of LAX retaining their tag team championships drastic went down.
Well, the numbers don't lie, Al Dalton.
And they spell disaster for you. Also, they know they weren't going to win, so they're not even going to try.
Allie, your turn.
Just yell fat. Simpy.
Just no say no simpy works.
Have we not shown you the Steiner map?
You have.
Okay.
Just do
you
the
have.
Old Scott Steiner, the intro music there.
Holla! Fat!
Big Papa Pump, just hook up! Holla! If you hear me!
There is the amazing video on YouTube, it's my favorite Scott Steiner thing, of the fan con. We saw that at Unprofessional Wrestling.
Oh, of...
The one guy that didn't understand how STDs work, so yeah. Then Scott Steiner for a minute actually had to explain how
was this where he like did the promo with the fans?
Yeah!
Right.
That was pretty incredible.
And he was like, they were like, yeah, we're gonna steal your girlfriends and give them STDs. No,
he was just like, you show me the ones you're going to be with, and I'm just going to stay away from them. It's the one time Scott Steiner showed Simpy.
He seemed almost human because
he was also trying not to laugh.
It was the first time in a long time he was out crazied by anyone.
By some rando fan.
Right.
Yeah, Scott Steiner. All right, so let me just say, I have never liked Scott Steiner. Ever.
His career trajectory is weird because he started as like, a terrible guy with like for promos, but he was an amazing wrestler.
He invented the Frankensteiner became very popular. Yeah.
And then like as his career went on, his in-ring work slowly got worse and worse, but his promo ability out of sheer insanity got better and better. Now, so it's like there was one point where both were like at the
Now, Dalton, why did his in-ring ability decrease though?
Because he got lazy.
And he got huge, too.
Well, yeah, but, like, whenever WCW is offering you guaranteed money and you can just flat out say the show sucks.
Well, he also...
Which he did often.
He also switched up his style when he had that almost career-ending foot injury.
Yeah, he started doing
yeah,
the...
Oh, yeah, he got the drop foot, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
The drop foot.
Hey, that's what it's called, isn't it? Where, like, you can't pick up your foot?
I like... This can't be real. Like, you're doing a Borderlands bit right now.
I'm on it.
I'm picturing Claptrap. Oh, go beat One Leg Mooney. He's got the drop foot. He can't run very fast.
Oh, my God.
Go steal his guns.
A general term for difficulty lifting the front part of the foot, sometimes called drop foot. F you, I was right.
I'm not saying you
and
came up
just
with the
threw
term.
His phone on the ground. Because
I think Finley also had it.
Okay, listen here, Cletus.
Some folk will never lose a toe. And then again, some focal. Like Cletus, the slack-jawed yokel. Anyway.
But
Steiner got the drop foot,
and he went from being a really good wrestler because he was a collegiate wrestler, yeah. Right?
What school?
Michigan.
I believe. Good job. Yeah.
Him and his brother Rick Steiner were a great tag team. The Steiner brothers, actually one of the best tag teams of all time, legitimately.
Well, if you want to get dropped on your head.
and then
it's effective. Jim Cornette would love him.
Then, now,
forever. The best part about the Steiners was that Scott was like relatively, like he was handsome. He was super handsome, ripped, jacked guy, had the sweet mullet. Then there was Rick Steiner, the dog-faced gremlin.
And he did not grow out of that.
No. Rick Steiner's claim to fame was that
he
promoted against Chucky from the Child's Play series.
Oh, God.
WCW.
And the best part about that, he got out promoed by Chucky.
Well,
from
the Child's Play.
It's Brad Dourif.
Yeah, it's a comedian versus Rick Steiner. Oh, the worst promo of the Steiners.
He called Rick Steiner a genetic throwback that howls at the moon. And meanwhile, he's doing love scenes with Jennifer Tilly. And it was like, yeah. He's absolutely right. All right, so Scott Steiner sucks.
No, he
sucks.
Excuse you, he's about to be a multi-time TNA tag team.
Jesus.
Champion.
Also,
dummy. Yeah, yeah.
Embarrassingly,
I just don't want you besmirching the good name, the mediocre name of Scott Steiner.
Oh, okay.
He's a guilty pleasure.
Oh no, he totally is.
Yeah, he had that great feud with Triple H.
He had the drop foot. We can't blame it on him.
He had that promo where he said, we can afford the Nature Boy Ric Flair. Why can't we afford to bring in the original Nature Boy? I understand he's dead now.
Buddy Rogers.
Then you know why they can't bring
Buddy
him
Holly.
In.
Buddy Holly.
What's up with these homies?
I got drop kicks, buddy. I don't know.
Did Buddy Holly have the drop foot?
Stop saying drop foot.
The Fooshnickens.
No.
Shaq.
No.
We got it. You gave us enough space. It's going in the show.
Anyway, so Steiner back at Impact, and you know what? It'll make Impact a lot more must-see. You have to see how insane
also,
this white dude can get.
I apologize for anyone I told to drop ahead like 1 or 2 minutes if you wanted to avoid Impact spoilers. I didn't expect us to talk about Scott Steiner for 10 minutes.
I don't think there's anyone out there that wants that surprise.
They're also going to be like, why the hell are they playing Shaq's rap album right now?
We're not.
You don't get that. He's the edit.
It's not happening.
Okay, so Scott Steiner out of the way. We all had a good laugh.
This is the most fun I've had on a show in a while.
At the career of Scott Steiner.
No, I had a good time making fun of you about Cletus last show.
Allie, he wasn't.
What'd you say his name was?
Leroy.
Leroy the football robot.
She told me that story.
That was my favorite Saturday Night Live character.
Oh, if they do it, I'm calling royalties on from this show. All right, so what's next?
Goddamn, how do you go to this topic now?
I tried to give you a segue with Scott Steiner's near career ending injury.
All right, so we're going to stop laughing because this is very serious. It's funny when Scott Steiner can't wrestle anymore. It's less funny when someone
true.
We like Paige. All right, in all seriousness.
All right, we're good.
So Paige, and I think we mentioned this on a couple shows ago, there was a match with Sasha Banks. It was a tag team match.
Yeah.
And Sasha Banks was in the corner. She, like, kicked Paige in the back.
Yeah.
Paige hit the mat, had trouble getting up. Her arms were shaking, which was really scary.
Yeah.
They got her out of the match, and I don't think this has been confirmed yet. It's only been confirmed that she's out of the Rumble match.
Yeah.
But most sources, credible sources, say that Paige's in-ring career in the WWE is over.
Yeah, PW Insider and Meltzer kind of like somewhat confirmed. Like she's got she came back from neck injury.
Yeah,
and a very very serious neck injury, and then everything happened in her personal life, and that's what kept her out of the ring for an extended period of time. Because apparently she was cleared to wrestle like way back, but now it looks like she could have. Either she returned too soon, or she was already wrestling on borrowed time. And that this was just very much just a freak thing.
Right.
That,
and from what I understand, I read this, but I can't give you a source, so take it with a grain of salt. But it was a credible site that I was on that she had been told before not to wrestle. Like before she came back, they told her maybe you shouldn't wrestle anymore.
An outside doctor told her that.
But she did. And the good news is that, and the bad news is her ring career is over. And that's awful.
She's only 25.
Right. The good news is that it could have been worse. She could have had Darren Drozdov comes to mind immediately, even though it was a freak accident, but stuff like that could happen.
And that's what this was.
Yeah, Darren, you know Darren Drozdov? Have we told you about him before?
I don't think so.
He was in WWE or WWF at the time in the late 90s, early 2000s. Yeah. and
wrestled as Draws.
Draws and Puke originally, which was just, if you've never seen Beyond the Mat, it's a fantastic documentary, and they go over how he got signed based on the fact that he could puke on command.
He was also an NFL standout. But also, before we really get into this, we really need to do a movie review on Beyond the Mat.
Amazing. A plus.
No, like a full episode.
Oh, talk about it? Okay, yeah. That's a good idea. I agree with that. But Draws was in a match with D'Lo Brown, and D'Lo had a move where he'd pick him up for a running powerbomb. Something happened, and he slipped.
A fan threw something in the ring. And there was, like, so it was beer, water, or something, and D'Lo slipped and dropped him just right on his head.
Paralyzed him, and he's still paralyzed.
Yeah, for life.
But I think he got a job with WWE for life. I don't know if he still, because he used to write for WWE.com quite a bit. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he still does, because I don't really go to WWE.com much anymore.
Right.
But tragic, just absolutely tragic. And like I said, as sucky as it is that Paige, especially at 25, to lose your livelihood at 25, at least she's alive and
relatively healthy. Because, I mean, she can't wrestle, but that doesn't disqualify you from, like, an everyday life. It's like Edge.
Yeah, she can have a life.
The doctors told Edge, like, if you hit one more spear, you could just be paralyzed for the neck down.
Yeah.
He can still live a full life. It's just, and to a professional wrestler, that's really, like, that's not living. Like, that is absolutely heartbreaking, because that's what she loved to do. She was raised around it, like, her family. Yeah. She comes from a wrestling family, so I can only imagine how heartbreaking this must be. She seems to be very optimistic, though, because, you know, she went on Twitter and Instagram, like, you know, every setback is a setup for a step forward. 2018 will still be my year. She has officially been confirmed to be out of the Royal Rumble, but WWE has not done, like, the Daniel Bryan thing.
Where
they've confirmed that she can't wrestle anymore.
Or she hasn't given a farewell speech like Daniel Bryan and Edge did.
And you have to assume that they would give her that.
And I hope that they will, because I think she deserves it. Mm-hmm. If I could call in a favor from God just on the spot, it would be, could you let's give Paige a break. Like, what a shitty couple of years she's had.
Right.
Between, you know, the god-awful, god-awful invasion of privacy that she suffered to the relationship that was basically a dramatic public tornado all over TMZ and all over those scummy sites. And then now to lose her livelihood in wrestling. Like, I feel awful for her. I really, really do. And I was never a huge Paige fan per se. Like, I like her a lot. I think she's a great wrestler, but I never had the same love for her that I did for, like, Trish Stratus or, Sasha Banks or people like that. You know, I just like them more, but I truly believe that a Paige needs to be in wrestling, like someone like Paige. She looks different. She's a great wrestler. The anti-diva thing was a great gimmick. Mm-hmm. Like, she is just all around great, and I'm truly sad that she's not in it all.
There's a reason that she is the first ever NXT Women's Champion. And it was the NXT Women's Champion.
Mm.
That belt did not start off as a Divas belt. That was always the NXT Women's Champion. Mm-hmm. There's a reason she got that. And it's one of those, and like, the last 2.5 years of her life, could really, like, and I get that if she can't wrestle anymore, that was her life.
Mm-hmm.
But the way that she has been able to bounce back from it, just to have this setback, she could be the biggest inspiration to young girls out there.
Right.
Of just being like, this is what happened to me in my life. Learn from it. Also, don't let people hold you back, because that's what kind of happened to her in a couple aspects of her life. And just to have that kind of be the, like, she could be a good role model for women in WWE or even outside of it, which would be just as good for her, because you would still be making an impact on people's lives.
Like AJ Lee with the book that she's done and the TV show coming out, yeah.
Well, and Paige, like, she has that, not documentary, but like the
movie.
The movie.
Biopic?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was like Wrestling With My Family or something like that.
Yeah, I think so.
Because her mother also was a wrestler.
Yeah, her father, her brother.
It's in her blood. And the great thing about Paige is, you know, there's a lot of wrestlers, men and women, that are really good at wrestling and not so good at promos or stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But Paige is really good at everything. She's a great promo. I think she could be an announcer, or not announcer. I think she could be a commentator. I think she could be a manager. We could bring back managers.
Well, I mean, she could, like, she, if they still want to stick with, like, Absolution,
she could be their manager.
Yeah, because this totally throws a wrench in all of that.
Yeah.
But.
So we're all really sad about that, and I'm truly curious to see where this goes from here. I want Paige to do well, and I hope she's doing well, because that's the hardest thing. We can't get in her mind, but with as tumultuous as a couple years as she's had, I really hope that she takes the path Dalton described, where she does become an inspiration, and I hope she doesn't find herself wallowing in self-pity and making bad choices.
The part for me that's, like, the saddest is, like, I feel like the reason that she was able – and, like, if you listen to that podcast she did with Lillian Garcia, the reason she was able to survive all of that was because she wanted to get back to wrestling with WWE.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, so now God help whoever's going to try to stop her from doing that again.
Right.
Because, like, she's made it very clear, like, she does not consider herself to be.
You get, like, a Daniel Bryan feel?
A little bit. But the thing that's sad is, like, yeah, the entire reason she made it through that was because she wanted to be able to wrestle again. And now if they're saying, okay, but you can't wrestle anymore. Like, that, like I said, I can't imagine the heartache.
Yeah, absolutely.
So.
I know they haven't done the UK show, but I would say she'd almost be a shoo-in for, like, commissioner of the UK show or GM,
mm-hmm.
if they ever did it, you know, because obviously she's British. It would be, I think, a good fit, but we don't know. We right. don't know, and we want to know.
Because she could still have a place on Raw as, like you said, as a manager.
Right.
As a back, like, in some sort of backstage role. Like, she could even go to the Performance Center and help out there. Like,
train.
There's a yeah. lot of things that she can still do while they still kind of evaluate. Because, like we said, you know, the headlines are Paige's in-ring career is over. But there hasn't been an official, like,
announcement from anybody until that needs to be announced.
Until WWE or Paige herself come out with that official announcement, that's not what the headline should be.
It should,
it's just
yeah.
like Paige has a very
serious
bad injury
yeah.
that is keeping her from wrestling currently.
And we'll keep an eye on it. We'll let you guys know when we find out what's going on with it. But I do want to say, and I'm not going to spend a big thing on this, but I have to mention it because it boils my blood. Of course, we frequent the websites for wrestling and the boards and stuff. We find out fans' opinions and stuff. We like to keep ourselves educated. The amount of people that I saw making references to her in-ring career being over and how, well, she's got a second career lined up already. Like, again, I know you don't listen to the show because you've had to have turned it off by now as many times as we call you scum,
mm-hmm.
but you're the scum of the earth. Like, I truly hope bad things happen to you. Not terrible things, because, you know,
like, you stub your toe a couple times
yeah.
next week.
Lose a finger or two, Cletus. But
maybe they just build another one.
But that's like that.
Just install more fingers.
The thing that I hate most about doing this show and just being on the internet in general is there's all these people that you want to smack the shit out of for acting like idiots and saying things that they would never say in public.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they said it in public, they would get the taste slapped out of their mouth. Not just by us, but by other wrestlers. You say you love wrestling and this is how you treat someone that gives their body to wrestling. Like, you're a joke. And I wish that I had a Roger Mathis with me all the time. So we could, like, Jay and Silent Bob that shit and go to everyone's house. Mathis could slap the faces off.
The Rick and Morty, after the devil turns on Summer. And it's just X going to give it to you as they're jacked up on steroids and, like, they're punching Nazis. Like, guy kicks his dog. They just beat the crap out of him.
That's what I want, truly.
I was about to say that's why Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back is the greatest movie in cinema history. Just for that end scene of just being like, did you say blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. Is this your screen name?
I love the internet because it has given us a platform to reach so many people, which, by the way, this month is our most monstrous month ever, and we're going to set records again, and we're so happy about that. But at the same time, the internet has also given cowards like that a screen to hide behind and a name to hide behind so they can say these awful, awful things with no repercussions.
In total fairness, it's given me more people to hate, so I dig it.
And not only that, but they're losers anyway. It's not like these guys are, like, in the business and they're, like,
yeah.
shit-talking that. They're literally just some fucking piece of shit that's sitting... I'm sorry. That slipped out. That's sitting in their basement, like, you know, I don't want to be that guy. But typing these things out and making themselves feel really good, and they're all jacking each other off, but they have tiny little penises, so it's really difficult.
Don't do that while I'm taking a drink.
All right. That's all I got to say about it. But speaking of internet drama, let's move on to the next story. Let's talk about the Young Bucks and Daniel Cormier.
Okay.
This had a happy ending.
Yeah.
Kind of, yeah.
I'm actually surprised about this. Dalton, fill us in on this particular story.
So basically, it's the main thing when anybody has a critique of the Young Bucks, it's they're too choreographed, they're too tongue-in-cheek. And I forgot the exact tweet, but DC Daniel Cormier of UFC fame, I believe he's the current light heavyweight champion, said, "I miss when wrestling was actually wrestling, not this..." Was it choreography?
Ballet, I think.
Ballet.
Or something like that. Yeah.
Something like that. Something along those lines.
He did the implication that Cornette loves to do of they're not real wrestlers.
Right.
Yeah.
He misses when guys actually try to hurt each other. You know, when wrestling was real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Before they faked it.
Right.
Like the moon landing.
So.
Oh my God.
The moon landing got me.
Delayed.
So the Young Bucks go and tell them how they feel. which wasn't the nicest thing. I forgot. Again, I wish I had the exact tweets in front of me, but I don't. But what it basically ended with the Young Bucks calling him out, being like, "Yeah, no, we definitely don't. We're not real wrestlers. This is what we do, though." Being like the middle finger to them,
and talking about how much money they make in their career, and talking about just go talk to Triple H anyway, because all of you guys end up like going to him for a job.
Because that's what it was. Is because it was less they were talking about their money they made and more about the tickets they sold.
Yeah,
because that is the more measurable dynamic of. Because it was like it was one of the Young Bucks tweeting to Cornette saying like, "Hey, remember when you were in charge of ROH and you struggled to get half the you struggled to fill half this room? We sold it out. Like, that's a good. That is a good." Thing to say to someone like that.
Yeah.
And then he did say, like, yeah, why don't you just go to Triple H, because all of you got, when your careers end anyway, you just want to go there anyway. And so, and then another thing happened early, like later on, where someone, one of Cormier's fans was talking about how they just do a fake job, not like him. And he's like, yeah, but this fake job pays me seven figures. And then Cormier thought he was talking to him because Twitter's weird with if you reply to someone who's replying to a comment, it replies to the same person. So that just kind of.
But they basically, I mean, they went all at it. And as much as like, I really like the Young Bucks. Mm-hmm. Like, there are things I don't like about them because there is a part of Jim Cornette in me. I won't lie.
No, but again, you have a style of wrestling that you like. Right. They do a style of wrestling that you don't necessarily like.
But I would never say they're not wrestlers or that they don't belong in the business. Right. That's the big difference.
But you still respect what they do and like what they do for the business.
Amazing athletes. But as much as I do like them, it'll never happen. But the last person you want to pick a fight with is like a Daniel Cormier, because he could probably destroy them and eat them, because he does like to eat. He did a video where he was talking about how his body is not, you know. Anyway, but it has a happy ending, because Young Bucks said they're deleting all the toxic garbage on their Twitter. Much love to the people that hate us and all that. Mm-hmm. Daniel Cormier replied and said, "I apologize for the hate you have gotten." He's received hate too. He has a fight next week and he gets agitated. He apologizes. I wish you guys nothing but continued success. Young Bucks replied, "Thank you. Sorry for all the unwanted negativity. God bless and be safe on your fight this weekend." And honestly, like, that is the best ending that could possibly happen. Yeah.
It's great to see people just be adults and like, okay, this kind of escalated, heat of the moment thing. There's really not a reason for us to not like each other.
Right.
Or to not, like, not even to, it's fine if they dislike each other. Like,
but to be public and toxic.
Right. And to kind of inspire, because both people have a very rabid fan base behind them.
Yep. Yeah.
Like, DC's fans are very loyal to him.
Yeah.
Like, because, and for, like, I was very disappointed to see what he tweeted, like, originally.
Because, like, this is the one that's been against Jon Jones the entire time. He was kind of our beacon of hope in UFC.
He was, like a legitimate good guy.
You're, like, you're a good human being.
Yeah, and it's one of those, and I'm not going to okay what DC said, because it's one of those, like, and I'm a big Young Bucks fan, but it's one of those, when you talk about the tickets they've sold, like, the Young Bucks, even if you don't like their style, have done so much in leaps and bounds for the professional wrestling business, also their own wallets, but more importantly, the wrestling business.
Especially on the indie circuit.
Yeah.
They've revolutionized the indie circuit.
Yeah, and it's, but it's one of those, like, whenever you have somebody like Daniel Cormier, who is a guy that weighs at, like, 240, 250, and is in the, like, getting into fight mode, and he's having a weight cut, he's having to work out all the time, and he's having to do all that. Like, I get the agitation of, like, I tweeted this, they didn't like it, now I'm going to be a dick.
Right.
So it's one of those, like, I understand all sides.
Plus, there's got to be a mentality of, and I'm not saying that it's a big thing in his head, but he's got to have that mentality of, I'm a UFC fighter, I am a real fighter, these guys are, they're wrestlers. There's always going to be that stigma, I feel, UFC fighters and wrestlers.
I feel like UFC fighters in general, but not him, just because he's a legitimate fan of wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he understands, like, the sacrifices that they go through and, like, what they put their bodies through. And, like, especially because, like, he has a fight this week. When was the last time he fought?
Yeah, they fight, what, once a year? Once every 2 years?
No, they fight 3 to 4.
Do they really?
Yeah, it's, like, 3 to 4 fight types a year. And, like, and don't get me wrong, I am not in any way trying to undercut, like, what MMA fighters put their bodies through.
Look at CM Punk.
Yeah.
CM Punk learned firsthand of how difficult it is to train so hard, like the dedication it takes to be a fighter.
Right.
Like, there's dedication on both sides. It's two sides of the same coin.
It really is. It's that thing where it's like, he understands, like, what they're doing 3 to 4 times a week.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, like, the training is very intense and everything about that, but, like, he's only really fighting, you know, 3-4 times a year.
Yeah.
So I think he understands that aspect of wrestling.
And usually, like, whenever we get into this argument, because this isn't the first time we've talked about this on PWU, anytime there's an argument between an MMA fighter and a professional wrestler, it is 95% of the time the first shot across the bow is the MMA fighter talking garbage. Like Conor McGregor,
Yeah.
That happened like three times.
Except Conor McGregor, you could tell, was just, that dude's just, he's playing. He's a puppeteer.
Yeah, but it's the whole thing of being like, I mean, yeah, if you're Conor McGregor, are you really going to want to pick a fight with Big E?
Probably.
I would love to see it.
I would, because Big E would kill him.
I don't know, man. You got
no.
That's a whole other discussion.
Whenever you
that's
have,
a whole other discussion.
Yeah, no. Like, if
remember when we? What was the argument we had? It wasn't an argument. It was Mike Tyson versus who?
Floyd Mayweather.
No. It was me and Asa because we were talking about Tyson in UFC, and I thought Tyson would do well.
Oh, it was Tyson. It wasn't against anyone in particular. It was just Tyson in UFC because we were talking about CM Punk's rating.
Right.
And it was that thing where it's like, no, it's yes, you can be an amazing boxer, but when you're a boxer in a UFC fight, you're nothing.
Right.
Because
you have to have so many different
skill sets. Because
you
don't have defense against someone kicking your leg out from under you or going for a takedown.
Right.
Like, if I think Tyson would be the best boxer in UFC because I think he would be fast enough and hit hard enough that he could take people
count.
By surprise and he would very much make
but
it count.
I also think that part of the beauty of combat sports is that there's so many kinds.
Right.
Like, boxing should stay in boxing. MMA should be an MMA.
Because that's the thing. It's like every time a boxer gets into MMA, the boxer gets obliterated because they get taken to the ground.
Or vice versa. If you ever had an MMA fighter go just to strictly boxing, his instincts of take him to the ground, submit, I mean, they're gone. You stand up and fight. That's it.
Yeah, but you see that less. I mean, you had the McGregor
fight. I honestly can't think of a single – okay, other than that, I can't think of a single time.
And that's really the only high-profile
And because
one.
MMA fighters understand that if they're doing a – because an MMA fighter will never try to – if they know – someone has a way better, like infinitely better stand-up game than them, they're not going to try to outbox them.
Take them to the ground.
Unless they are just that cocky and think they can.
Ronda Rousey?
Yeah. So they don't really want to, like, they wouldn't want to take that fight. Unless you're someone like Conor McGregor who just thinks you're the hottest shit in the world and you can do whatever you want.
I think back to...
That's why you get boxers who are super just like, I'm so good at this, I could beat them at their... I'm so good at this... They can't even. They would never be able to compensate. I'll go do their thing.
Remember Inoki versus Muhammad Ali, where they booked a fight between Inoki, which is Japan's Hulk Hogan, which we saw in that video fighting the big fat guy,
yeah,
and Muhammad Ali, who is one of the greatest, if not greatest, boxers of all time.
Yeah,
and Ali, he agreed to the fight, but then changed the rules. We're like, okay, oh, he's actually tough. Well. He can't, like, kick me. He can't do anything. So Inoki literally laid on his back and just kicked
the hell out of him.
Gave him a blood clot in his leg. He kicked him so many times. So, yeah.
Because he was like, well, I can't hit you any other way. I'm going to hit you like this.
And it worked. What was Ali going to do? Because
you
can't punch.
You literally cannot punch down.
Punchy can't punch. What's Punch Clops going to do? Use his optic blast? Makes no sense. Anyway, moving on. Big news. Goldberg is a lock for the Hall of Fame in 2018.
Yeah, officially the number one entrant, that's cool. I like Goldberg. He seems like a nice guy. And honestly, that Lesnar match at WrestleMania
was good.
Was the best they could have possibly done.
Yeah.
Like, that was the absolute best case scenario.
That wasn't a 3-second match.
And his, like, and then that, like, his retirement speech, like his for real retirement speech on Monday was, like, actually heartwarming. The way he told the crowd who were booing him, like the post-Mania crowd, and he was like, hey, quit being shitty. This is a serious moment.
And they did.
Yeah.
Because are you going to tell no to Goldberg?
It was awesome.
The only thing, like, that headline wasn't the real headline to me, like in my headcanon. That headline to me was The Undertaker not going into the WWE Hall of Fame in 2018.
Yes.
Or else he would have been the first announcement.
Because he would absolutely be the headline.
Well, the rumor has been all along that he was going to fight John Cena at Mania.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as we know now, that's not going to happen, but it could still happen.
Well, I mean, Bruce Pritchard had an interview or tweeted something about how he saw Undertaker since he's had his hip surgery. And he's like, that's the best I've seen him move around in decades. So, I mean, I don't think it's out of the cards, especially if the plan was John Cena, Samoa Joe at WrestleMania. Now with Joe hurt,
right,
they might still have that. We could still see Cena Undertaker. I think if something happens at the Royal Rumble,
that's the deciding factor.
Because Cena is one of the, I think they have like 12 people confirmed already.
Right.
For the Men's Royal Rumble. Yeah.
I think that the Undertaker-Cena match, really, that's the last place you can go with the Undertaker, isn't it? Other than Kane, like we've mentioned before.
See, but like, I
I mean, there's the Sting match, which can happen.
But
at
there
this
was
point.
There was the last match he had, where again he left his gloves in the like he left his gloves in the ring. Like, yeah. And it's just like
it's hard to come back from
you,
that.
You got to stop giving me these half measure like retirements. Like right. There have been, he's had multiple now that could be
when he walked out with Triple H after the Hell in the Cell
with Shawn Michaels. That should have been it.
The end of
that
the
been
end
it.
Of the era.
The last of the Outlaws.
Yeah,
yeah.
And that was 5 WrestleManias ago.
Jeez.
Yeah.
So and getting back on the Goldberg. Thing.
The Goldberg train.
Yeah, because this is an actual Goldberg story. Yeah. Sorry.
Because this is what I kind of wanted to say. So this is going to be just like last year, where we get the first person. Last year was Kurt Angle. Mm-hmm. And then they're going to announce somebody that's legitimately going to piss me off that they're not the headliner.
Who was it last time?
DDP. Because I feel like DDP should have been the headliner because what he has done for wrestling as a whole is a lot more important than what Kurt Angle
See,
has done.
And that's,
I agree with you, but it's Kurt Angle.
It's that, you know, it's that thing where it's just like, this is not going to be an argument we're going to have because it's not going to go anywhere.
Yeah.
Because I agree with you with what DDP's effect in the world is greater than Kurt Angle's. Like, and just flat out saving Jake the Snake Roberts life.
Scott Hall's life. Yeah.
Like, all of that work that he's done. And Kurt Angle, like, with that app that he has.
Yeah,
like,
and I'm not underselling Kurt Angle.
And again, I'm not trying to either. Like, and I agree that I think those warrant him being a headlining Hall of Fame class. When it's the WWE Hall of Fame, there's no question that Kurt Angle deserved to be the headliner that year. Because look at, you know, he had a great run in WCW. Like, that's not arguable.
Yeah.
His WWE run was atrocious.
Well,
that's another thing that's not arguable.
Until his rerun. His rerun was good.
I mean, he didn't really, he came in like a couple times.
But
like,
I mean, it was fresh. He never lagged. Like,
but he didn't do like a more than like 1 week appearance, didn't he?
Who are we talking about?
DDP?
Oh, I thought you guys were talking about Goldberg again.
No.
My bad. My bad.
DDP's
WWE run was atrocious.
Yeah, no, it will be one of those like where they will announce somebody, and I'm just like
that. You think that like as a person deserves it more than what they're pushing because they're not really pushing the person aspect.
But who do you
of.
Think yeah. it could be?
I will figure out in the following weeks.
If you had to pick one person to put in the Hall of Fame this year, who would you put?
Daniel Bryan.
That's a good choice. Asa.
Jim Johnston. Jim Johnston needs to be in has needed to be in the Hall of Fame since they opened the WWE Hall of Fame.
True. And if they don't give him the Warrior Award and he's just in the Hall of Fame, there's my one that'll piss me off.
Allie?
Say Brutus the Barber Beefcake.
I will throw
say
this
Macho
bottle
Man Randy Savage.
He's already in there.
He needs to go in again.
Say the NWO.
Both of those guys are already one of them got kind of blacklisted. But Hall and Nash are already in there, I'm pretty sure.
You're making Dalton, yeah.
I mean, Hogan's already in there, too.
I said one of them got blacklisted.
Yeah, because he gave his Hall of Fame ring to Abyss to give him his powers.
Is there anybody that thinks that Hulk Hogan, I don't want to, like, I'm not saying this to get you guys to yell at me and tell me I'm stupid, but does anybody think that Hogan may be in the Rumble this year?
No.
No.
Like, at all?
He cannot not go over the top rope.
Neither could, shit, no. Never mind. I was going to say neither could the other racist. The other bigot.
JBL?
Iron Sheik. Oh. Neither could Iron Sheik in that gimmick battle royal. He won.
But they're not going to let
Exactly, that's what I'm saying. That's why my brain just shattered. And I'm like, as much as I love Hulk
Hogan. Hogan could make an appearance. He could be like the host of the Royal Rumble or like host of WrestleMania again.
You think we're ready for that?
I think we can
deal with that now?
I mean,
I think we could have dealt with it 2 months after it happened.
Yeah, I don't see any reason that Hogan is not welcome back in WWE yet.
I mean, I agree. I just want to know.
I think he was at Raw.
It's like, don't get me wrong. Like,
in the crowd.
I don't want him in WWE just because like his time has passed. I will never take away the legacy of Hulk Hogan.
Are you saying his time is up and someone else's time is now?
Right. We probably can't see him yet, but his time is now.
Back
to Goldberg.
I'm excited for the WWE. I always like the Hall of Fame to see who they get for it. Yeah. Goldberg should absolutely be a headliner. And again, but it's that thing where it's like,
WWE-wise, should he be a headliner?
Mm-mm. I mean, WWE-wise, no, but that's never what they've done.
Right.
Look
at Inoki.
Right. Like, that's never what they've done.
Yeah.
But for a wrestling Hall of Fame, 100%.
And I think Goldberg, and the reason I said I thought his rerun was better, and I know you guys were talking about DDP, when he came back, yeah, he didn't do a lot. Like, he only had a handful of matches, mm-hmm. but they were solid matches. He did well. He looked great.
Well, and you have to look at, too, like, the Survivor Series where he beat Lesnar was probably one of the most shocking moments of the year.
Absolutely.
And,
100%.
You know, that feud itself, like, was good.
Like, as good as they can be.
I was very sports entertained.
Right. So, congrats to Goldberg.
Yeah,
and
I'm legitimately happy to see him go in. My first thought was, Undertaker's not going in this year. My second thought was, wait, Goldberg's not already in it?
Yeah.
Because I always forget who's already in.
Also, the correct answer was Scott Steiner to go in.
No.
Oh, my. First hand, I want to know who's going to induct him. Second hand, I want that speech in my life.
Yeah. He's got to be the main event
speech. Mainly, because I want him to do the speech and then there be a translator next to him.
They make him do pre-recorded.
So they can edit out everything.
Why was it 3 seconds long?
I sent him 35 minutes. Why is it down to 45 seconds?
Wait a minute, really quick. Worst Hall of Fame speech of all time.
Mr. T.
Yes!
Clearly.
Although I do send it to my mom every Mother's Day.
I mean, but to be fair, like...
All right, no, Allie, you don't get the bit. There's literally 5 minutes where he just talks about how much he loves his mom.
Oh, okay.
Mama. Yeah, and they're making fun of that.
No, I sent it to my
monsters.
Mom.
If you don't think that Scott Steiner could end up in the Hall of Fame, or at least as a speech, I mean... The best thing to point out, Jim Cornette, inducted. Whether you like it, the bad blood, the things that he said, if they can let Jim Cornette back to do a speech, they would let Steiner.
I don't think Jim Cornette is mentally unwell as Scott Steiner could be.
Not as much as Scott Steiner.
Like, comparatively, yes.
I also think I think Cornette has that air of he still cares about, like, I don't know how to say this without just sounding really insulting, because I don't mean it to be super insulting, but I think Cornette cares about his image. I think he very much cares what the mainstream wrestling media and WWE think about him.
And so
he would be happy to, like, put on, and especially because that wasn't for him.
Yeah, he put
that
on
was,
airs.
That was for the Rock and Roll Express. Is that
yep,
the end
it was Rock and Roll, yeah. Yeah, because they're in this year's game.
So he wanted to do that for them. Whereas I don't see Scott Steiner.
Who would he
ever
do it for?
I don't think Triple H is going to call Scott Steiner. Well, and Scott Steiner be like, hey, you know what? Yeah.
Because they'd be more like, hey, Scotty, is that you? Who's that?
What?
You peed in a cup yet? And then he just hangs up on him. Like, because that's Scott Steiner, who does not care about his image.
You still don't have any balls!
And I don't,
I don't know why he yells like that.
I don't mean that as an insult to Scott Steiner. It's just like, that's a statement of fact.
I hate Scott Steiner.
He doesn't care
about I love Scott Steiner.
Let's move on. Kenny Omega just signed a new deal with New Japan Pro Wrestling. So goodbye, Royal Rumble. Or maybe not.
Yeah, question mark. I still don't think that means he couldn't be. I'm not as a full-time, and maybe not even a WrestleMania match, but like...
Just that once.
Just the one-off appearance of Kenny Omega being in a WWE ring. I'm still not completely ruling it out.
Nope, you guys killed me a couple years ago with it. I don't ever want to see him in a Royal Rumble. He can do anything other than a Royal Rumble.
But AJ Styles showed up.
Yeah, you guys killed the Kenny Omega thing for me.
And what happened when AJ Styles showed up? Who do you put a spotlight on?
Roman Reigns.
I mean, if you would have asked me, like, the day after Wrestle Kingdom, my expectation of Kenny Omega being in the Royal Rumble was way higher then. I genuinely it's not going to happen.
I don't think he will either, but I do believe he's definitely on the radar. That's the big thing. Like, it's not like WWE has no idea who he is.
Right.
They actively know and have pursued him before.
Also, I didn't put it on the list, but he is officially announced for the Australian tour that they're going to do in February. So that's pretty neat.
This is kind of cool. John, I missed one. This is actually, I don't care. But, yeah, whatever. John Cena's hosting the Kids' Choice Awards.
Yeah, okay.
But he's done that before, hasn't he?
Yeah, yeah, this is the second time he's doing it. I think it's neat.
It is, because John Cena, God, we have defended him to no end on this show. Mm-hmm. I can't understand why people hate him so much. Yes, I get sick of it too. But, like, him as a person is so good. He's such a nice person. And Dalton, I believe he has the second most make-a-wishes behind Justin Bieber, right?
Well, if you count recording artists, he has an album out. I got in an argument with somebody a couple years ago.
This is another thing me and Dalton talked about today. I apologize.
They said that Justin Bieber had the most make-a-wishes, and I was like, no, it's definitely Cena. And she checked the stats, and she was like, oh, well, Justin Bieber as a recording artist has the most make-a-wishes. And I was like, checkmate, John Cena has an album. I pulled it up on iTunes. Like, I can buy that shit for $11.99.
He put on Bad, Bad Man and just sat there and jammed out to it.
It's the only song on that worth listening
this
to.
This is what I was going to say was sad, because I read about this too, and I hope... Mark Henry is officially retired.
Yeah.
With no fanfare.
This was a, according to Meltzer, tag on Squared Circle.
And as we get to later in the show, he's been pretty accurate recently.
I don't know which part you're talking about,
the
but
signees.
We'll get there. Oh, yeah. It's just that thing where because he had his first indie appearance. So I don't know. He could still be working, like, behind the scenes or performing. Like, Mark Henry is definitely someone, like, can you imagine Mark Henry being your strength coach at the Performance Center?
I would hate my life.
You'd fail your coach every day.
But everyone would be Braun Strowman. The women, no. The children.
Oh, you don't have Braun Strowman on the list, I don't think.
I have Raw SmackDown.
Oh, good, because I need to talk about Braun Strowman. We need to talk about Braun.
We'll get there.
But yeah, I really love Mark Henry. I always have. I like the sexual chocolate thing, as stupid as it was. Maybe not the Mae Young stuff. That was pretty insultingly bad. One of the greatest things I've ever seen in wrestling that warms my heart is his retirement speech with John Cena. He gave such a good speech, like legitimately had the crowd eating out of his hand, wore that stupid suit that he made fun
of. Oh, excuse you.
Hey, I'm just saying what he said. He said it was a, no, what did he say? He didn't say stupid. He said it was like memorable or something. I don't know. But he gave that great speech.
Right.
And then as John Cena applauded him, laid him out, put him in the Hall of Pain.
I got a lot left in the tank.
That was incredible. And I still watch it sometimes. That brings a tear to my eye.
It was the thing where he tweeted, like, because the rumors were going around that he was retired, like that he was retiring. And so he like went on Twitter and was like, well, no, that's not true. I have a lot left. Like, I'm not going to retire anytime soon. And then he comes out on Monday and he starts like, but he just said, and then Cena comes out and I immediately was like, oh, awesome. But the more he talked, the more I was like, wait,
that seemed legit.
Like, I was like, wait, he made me, even though I knew. Is that, well, but, oh, is he actually gonna? Oh, no, they've got him. Like,
and when he laid
so
Cena
good.
Out, the crowd went nuts. It was an incredible moment. Is that the suit you're showing her? Yeah. It was pink, wasn't it?
Salmon.
That's a sexy salmon.
Oh, man. Yeah. So I love Mark Henry, and I don't mind him retiring because he's definitely put his work in WWE. But I just wish he would have gotten more of a goodbye.
I wish after that run, because that was kind of in the era of SmackDown is giving the veterans the world heavyweight champion.
Just to have that on the resume.
Just so they can have it, like, just as, like, a thank you. After that, They still had him for like 2-3 years.
He's done next to nothing.
And they've done nothing with him outside of like
that when he had the belt was like 2010.
Hall of Pain is one of my favorite storylines.
It was before Daniel Bryan.
Okay. Yeah, cool. Yeah, because that's what led up to Daniel Bryan.
Yup.
Because it was Mark Henry and Big Show were feuding, and
it was a triple threat.
Daniel Bryan promised Big Show that he wouldn't cash in before WrestleMania, and then he did.
And I said, I don't know if you guys heard me, Hall of Pain, one of my absolute favorite things ever. That was a great gimmick.
That was.
And
was
Mark
amazing.
Henry was great at it. So.
Because again, like, I know this, it's believable.
Yeah. Cause he was a big tough dude. Loved him in the Nation of Domination. That was one of my favorite factions, especially when it was Mark Henry. Well, when it was Henry, Farouk, Rock, and, D'Lo. Like, and I guess, Kama.
Kama Mustafa.
Yeah. You didn't like them?
Henry was kind of garbage.
At the time.
Well, yeah. It's when I was like, I can't like him in that because that was his worst time in WWE. Like,
he was fresh.
Also like,
he was fresh out of the Olympics. Like, it's one of those that like, yeah, no, like he had a really memorable career. It's also really important that he was really bad at the beginning.
Well, but
he also gave rise to one of the most racist moments in wrestling history that starred your buddy X-Pac. Mizark Henry? With blackface and
DX
everything.
DX coming out to the ring in blackface? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, all of them had a varying degree of blackface. See, this is why you listen to the Attitude Era podcast like I do, because it's like, it reminded me of it.
Until just now, I never realized how racist that was.
Any amount of blackface is too much
but
blackface,
like, but it was varying.
Urge to make Frank Reynolds quotes rising.
Yeah, like it's the.
No.
But it was a varying, they were all varying levels of it. Like, Road Dogg didn't have any. Mm-hmm. X-Pac went proper blackface.
He was the worst.
And where I think it was like the color black, like not brown, black.
He's
like,
apologized for that too in later years. Yeah, that
I'm
was
pulling up a picture, Allie.
That was a bad idea.
Yeah, it was gross.
Let's
but
move on.
I don't think he's saying he enjoyed, like, he's loved Mark Henry since then. It's just he loved the Nation of Domination and Mark Henry was a part of that.
Yeah, yeah, because I loved the Nation. I thought they were great. Farouk is one of my all-time favorites for good reason. I can't wait to see him next week beat up the Revival.
I actually recently had this in my search history, showing somebody else, so this actually worked really well.
Yeah, showing someone else.
So X-Pac is in the Mizark shirt.
Let's see how big Allie's eyes get. She's
she ducked in the hoodie.
You can hear it.
You can hear the racist judgment in her voice.
That is the proper reaction to seeing that.
All right, we got to move on because we don't have a ton of time. We've been talking about Scott Steiner too goddamn much. Impact announces a Twitch channel partnership.
Yes,
that's good news.
That's awesome. Like, because when we got the when we saw the picture of the four-sided ring that they moved to, two of the aprons had Twitch across
cool.
the side. So you can go to Twitch right now. I don't have the name of their channel, and I apologize.
They don't even know what it is.
But it's
TNA this week?
I think it's Impact Wrestling. Is it? And because earlier today they were streaming some of their old pay-per-views. I think they streamed their very first pay-per-view. But it's apparently a 24-hour
like
channel.
The TNA pay-per-view, like the first TNA one? Oh,
yeah.
That was awful. Like, all right, so I don't know if you've ever mentioned this on the show before, the website WrestleCrab.com. If you go there, you can see the reviews of TNA's first shows, and you may not remember all the things they had on that show. They were bad, insultingly bad. We're talking about, well, I can't say midgets, but I just did. Let's just move on, because I'm really not trying to be funny.
Next.
But it's cool. I'm super, like, I'm happy to see them get this partnership.
Me too. Yeah. Anything that they can do to gain is great, because the more things you have in wrestling, the more opportunities there are.
They're making a lot of really good decisions,
which is good.
So
they
far.
Need to.
Yes.
Maybe this will be the year we don't talk about is Impact going under every week. Anyway, we do have some sad news from back though, and that is that Ethan Carter III, Bobby Lashley, and Chris Adonis have left Impact.
Yep.
They are done. As is Chelsea Green.
Yes, officially. We talked about that a few weeks ago, but she officially announced that her...
Because she lost the title.
Because it was Laurel Van Ness is officially...
And who did she lose the title to?
Was it Rosemary? I don't remember.
I think it's Allie.
Oh, was it Allie?
Not you.
Not you. Different Allie.
No, I'm the winner.
You're the champion? That's where you were last week!
We knew it.
You were winning TNA titles, which is odd, because it doesn't exist anymore. But the big thing of this, like, we talked about this, who do you see going to WWE first?
Mm-hmm.
Because I have no doubt that all four could go, but who do you think will go?
Apparently EC3 pulled out of a show for Sunday, January 28th.
That's Royal Rumble.
That's telling.
Yeah, so that, I mean, maybe. But
who does he debut as? Do they keep Ethan Carter III? Can they keep Ethan Carter III?
Well, and that's kind of the interesting thing, because apparently as soon as they granted him his release and he knew he was leaving, he put in for the trademark, because... Another choice Impact made is people can own their own trademarks as Impact wrestlers. So, or like, it was the week after they made that announcement, he applied for his trademark.
Yeah. Okay, so if Ethan Carter III shows up at the Royal Rumble, and I know you've said no to my idea before.
Mm-hmm.
How about one time Dixie Carter comes out at the entranceway and just says, please welcome my nephew, Ethan Carter III, and that's all they say about it?
Because there's not enough... People, like, as much as we want to believe that everyone loves wrestling as much as we do and pays as much attention to wrestling as we do, they don't.
Yeah.
I have to call back when we were at the Show Me Center for the house show. Before Enzo and Cass debuted, no one knew who they were.
But you guys have said before that part of what WWE does is for the smart fans. You have said before
they're
on this show.
Part of it. But
that is way too big of a – who is this person?
It's too deep of a cut. All they need to do – is because one, and I'm not just saying that because I think it would be too hard for them to explain. I also do not want to see Dixie Carter in any sort of character role on any wrestling program ever again, ever, ever. All they have to do is say that he is a media mogul, pro wrestling mogul, nephew. He's been handed everything in life.
It's in his blood. Silver spoon.
He was born with that silver spoon. That's all you have to do. You don't even have to mention wrestling. Like, you just all he has to do is Ethan Carter III. That's just a douchey name.
And look at
you
him.
You don't have to draw.
Look at him. Like, the muscles, the good looks.
Yes.
We have. So close.
Up close.
The muscles are everywhere.
So you think EC3, definitely. Bobby Lashley, if he wants, definitely.
If he wants, but apparently, I don't remember where I read this and I apologize, but when he left, there was a lot of bad blood.
Oh, really?
Yeah, between him and WWE. So, I mean, I'm not saying a return isn't out of the schedule, but he's gone on record as saying he doesn't want a full-time schedule. So, I mean, like it's like we talked about last night. If you get the Universal Championship off of Lesnar, Bobby Lashley versus Brock Lesnar is an easy, no-build-required SummerSlam main event, if not a WrestleMania marquee match.
Build it up for their MMA careers. Build it up like you could build it up so well.
So, and because he's not involved in Bellator as heavily now, he can do. I feel like he can do anything he wants. Like, if he wants to go back to WWE, he'll go back to WWE. If he wants to do, like, indie wrestling, he'll do indie wrestling. If he wants to focus more on Bellator, he'll do that.
The world is definitely at his
feet. I think he's more of the wild card.
I think Laurel Van Ness is a shoe-in. Just, if nothing else, they put her on the roster and have her wrestle.
I do think it was Meltzer who said he would be surprised that some insider said that they would be surprised if she isn't signed by the end of 2018.
And, oh God, just put her on the same show as Zack Ryder, please.
Give the man something.
Give him something. They look so cute together.
The thing he posted on Twitter a couple weeks ago of like, it was 1 year ago today, I slid into the DMs. It's like, you are such a tool. I love you so much.
Laurel Van Ness posted Chelsea Green. I keep calling her. She posted a picture today on Instagram of her in bed with Zack Ryder, like mouth open asleep next to her. And he's like, even in his sleepy cuddles, I love him. And I'm like, oh. He's just a big, cute teddy bear with jacked abs.
He's zacked.
I hear he has a bald spot, though.
Doesn't matter. Shut your mouth.
So did Chris Masters. And Chris Masters got that, got the hair stuff, and now he looks... I also have him on Instagram. Mm-hmm. He looks amazing. Yeah. I really want him to go back. We talked about how much he wasn't great, mm-hmm. but he's gotten better, and just if Vince likes guys that look great... Mm-hmm. He's the masterpiece. That's what they called him.
Jesus.
I don't see him going back to WWE. I would be happy if he did, because like he would fill a great mid card role. Like him coming back and immediately feuding with Bobby Roode for the US title. Give me that. But the Royal Rumble, that masterpiece entrance with the cloak and
Never seen it. That is truly a crime.
Yeah. Because he's literally, his whole gimmick is based in real life, because it's just like, look at how chiseled out of stone I am.
He was basically Michelangelo with bigger muscles.
Not right. Turtle.
Well, so.
That's Bobby Lashley.
No, that's a Battletoad.
Do you mean David?
Who did I say?
Michelangelo, which was the artist.
I don't know. Was Michelangelo built?
I mean, he had to handle all that marble. He couldn't have been scrawny.
So he comes out, so his music hits, and he's like sitting there, like doing the thinker pose, kind of. Uh-huh.
With this cloak.
With the cloak over.
Royal red velvet cloak over his shoulders.
And as his music hits, he like throws the cloak off and poses at every beat.
And it's this, piano music. Like, it's this like.
And let me just say.
Incredible.
I hated it.
Oh. And then he had a cool gimmick. He had the Master Lock Challenge, because he had a full Nelson.
His finisher was a full Nelson.
Called the Master Lock. No one could get out of the Master Lock.
Austin Lynn taught me how to get out of it. I can now. He taught me the trick.
Who's the first one? Wasn't it Cena?
Yeah, it was the first person.
Was it Lashley?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because Lashley just went.
He was the first. Whoop. He was the first official one. Because it was like they did a tribute to the troops. They did a he put a soldier in it, and I think it was JBL kicked his leg out from under him.
Yeah. There were shenanigan endings too.
But Lashley just cute.
So here if you're keeping score at home, we hate Scott Steiner and we love Chris Masters.
Wow,
Dalton.
I'm the.
Why hear you like when people talk for you?
You have to admit though, he's gotten his work in Impact he's way better of a wrestler now. Like he's grown as a performer.
Yes, as did Lashley.
Yeah, Lashley did too.
As did Ethan Carter III. Like everyone's TNA Impact was a good place for people to grow, and that's why I'm glad they're still there.
Yeah,
as well as Ring of Honor, as well as Cape Championship Wrestling, as well as Stride Pro Wrestling, mm-hmm. not CCW, CZW.
What?
Jesus! Combat Zone Wrestling?
Right, I understand.
Trash Bird Wrestling.
I'm confused.
Anyway, moving on, because we don't have a lot of time. Sienna from Impact as well, taken to a hospital during the tapings. Apparently she has a blood clot in each lung.
Yeah, she,
well, that sucks.
She thought she had a dislocated rib or like a punctured lung or something, and they got her back and she had a blood clot in both lungs. So.
Ooh.
Scary.
In, big news, big signing news, we knew it was coming. It was a matter of time, and it's official now. Mm-hmm. Of Candice LeRae. To WWE,
yee.
War Machine to WWE, and our old friend Ricochet to WWE. Saw him live.
Friend of the show.
And also
by proxy.
Freaking Paducah native. Like the dude he's a local guy.
The local news stations have run stories about him being signed to WWE.
And that's really, really cool. Ricochet, we did see him. So we saw him wrestle Austin Lane. It was the first time we ever saw Austin Lane wrestle. Mm-hmm. And even though we fell in love with Austin Lane, Ricochet was what brought us there, and Ricochet was incredible. Super nice guy. I am so happy for him.
Yeah.
I hope he does well.
There was this was months ago, so like back in September, but Asa and I were at Farmer Billy Hills and Sarah Summers' place, and they were actually showing us old. We got to see Ricochet, Mikey, Mick Finnegan, Joey O'Reilly, and Billy. All wrestle on the
like
same
his babies,
show. Like yeah, his children.
That's their words, not ours, by the way.
Yeah, we saw Sarah in the crowd. It was fun.
Was it like a four-way match or
no? This was like matches. A pay-per-view.
Okay,
or like
it was just like an extended taping of a show.
Gotcha.
Yeah,
it wasn't all in the same match, but yeah, that was cool to see. And I love there was a picture they posted, or I think it was the Performance Center posted of just like, here's our newest signees, and it's all four of them, and they're
smiling.
Just like, they're so happy to be there, and I'm like, this is cool.
Hope you guys go to NXT.
I'm super excited to watch Ricochet wrestle on everyone,
and
really.
That also gives me hope that...
Same with Candice LeRae.
As much as I don't want to see it happen for personal selfish reasons, that if Ricochet can make it and get his break, maybe Billy Hills will, maybe Brandon Barbwire will, that these guys will go to NXT or WWE, even though I really don't want them to because they are our heroes. Because
then they'd be farther away.
Yes, and they will not remember us. I'll see Billy Hills and message him and be like, hey, how's it going in NXT? And he'll go, who is this?
House show, there's a house show at the Show Me Center. Yeah.
Hey, Billy.
Oh, no, we've had way too many awkward conversations I could screenshot and put on Facebook. He will always remember me.
It's true.
He thinks I'm above threatening him.
Oh, that's cute.
You just make so many friends on this show, don't you?
I try my best.
Jey Uso, over the weekend, got in a little bit of trouble. Arrested for a DUI.
Yep.
It hasn't
WWE made a statement saying that, like, what he does in his personal life is his business, but we're looking into it, waiting to hear from authorities. That's not the message you want to put out. Like, I get you're distancing it, but...
That's a bad thing.
I think... We're not going to get into it, but everyone here knows my stance on DUIs and DWIs and all of that.
Yep. Yeah.
And it's like, wow, I don't want to not like the Usos. Like, yeah. That really bums me out. And to hear WWE just have, like, a really...
Boys will be boys.
Kind of. Like, that's almost what it feels like. I get that it's just them trying to distance themselves from the situation. They need to see what happens, but, like... Yeah,
this is one of the things you should take a stand on.
Yeah.
And it's one of those, like, and I'm not going to speak for you, but it's one of those, if they would have just left off the first part of that, where, like, we are currently looking into the situation and getting the word on the authorities.
Right.
Not saying what they do in their personal lives isn't our business. No, you sign them to contracts.
Right. I get that, like, they're an independent contractor. But...
And you fired people for similar things.
I mean,
look at Rob Van Dam.
They fired Emma over stealing a phone case that she didn't steal.
Right. So to say, because he's definitely Rob Van Dam was pretty big at the time too.
He was the WWE and ECW champion.
But he didn't get fired for that.
He just got stripped of the titles.
Sabu
got fired.
Sabu got fired. But
and he was much lower on the totem pole.
But well, his was also a little bit more. He had more.
There was also drugs.
On him.
Yeah.
Like Jack Swagger. He was, from everything we've seen, he was supposed to beat Alberto Del Rio at WrestleMania 29.
Yeah,
it was his destiny.
Lost the match, never came close to touching the main event again. Like, the Usos probably losing at Royal Rumble, which yay for Gable and Benjamin. Someone on Reddit pointed out, like, wow, it's kind of cool that Gable and American Alpha are going to be tag team champions, but with other people at the same time.
I think, who was it? Was it Cameron that got busted for DUI? And I don't remember if she got fired for that or if they fired her later, but I remember seeing her mugshot and going like, oh, you always hate, like, to hear when a wrestler does
this. Don't get me wrong. Like, I'm not calling for the guy's head. I don't want him to lose his job necessarily, but I would very much appreciate WWE taking a harder stance than just.
There need to be serious repercussions.
Like, and granted, like, innocent until proven guilty. Like, he was released on bail. Like, there's all of that, but just.
Now, may I ask a question?
Yeah.
Would you be cool with a wellness violation on that?
Yeah,
I think that would be perfectly fair.
Like, people were speculating that he wasn't drunk, he was high, because, like, and if you look at his mugshot, oh, that dude smoked out of his brain. Like, people were making all sorts of comments.
That's
like
not
that.
Much better.
And it's not at all. Like, don't get me wrong, that's not what I'm saying. But, like, I don't think weed should be a wellness policy violation at all. Like,
but
and it's not. It's a fine. But whenever it's involved, when you're driving behind the, like,
yeah.
if you're behind the wheel of a car,
if you can endanger
absolutely
others.
You are, because yes, smoking weed does not hurt anyone. I know that's a hot take. Like, no one dies from weed. Shocker. I know. But like, if you smoke a lot and then go behind the wheel of the car, you are putting yourself and other people in danger, and that's not okay.
And then, but at the same time, like, it's one of those wheelless. Ace and I both listen to the Jericho podcast frequently.
Mm-hmm.
How many times have we heard Jericho talk about his favorite people to hang out with?
Right.
Oh, no, I love hanging out with the Samoans. They're the people I can keep up with alcohol-wise.
Right.
So whenever I heard it, I was like, well, man, Jericho wasn't lying. Apparently Jay's not as smart as we'd like to give him credit for, because that's just a really ignorant choice.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
Homeboy can afford an Uber. Like,
Or Lyft or a taxi or something.
He has a twin brother. Call
him. There's always an alternative.
Yeah, you cross into that line of it's no longer really a wrestling issue at all.
It's a human decency issue
of don't drive when you're drunk.
Yeah, because if you do, you're a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you could kill people.
Oh, I drive better when I'm drunk. No, you don't. And if you say that around me, I will slap you. That's fucked up.
Oh, man, train of thought left.
Well, because Ace is absolutely right. Like, that
no,
is
no, yeah,
awful.
I'm not.
That's
yeah,
just
no one's.
Awful.
No, one's
I wasn't making a counterpoint.
Well, no. He hit you so hard, you lost your train of thought.
Well, actually, Ace, no, that wasn't what was gonna. I forgot what it was. Damn it. Yeah, no, I'm not in there. Yeah, what's next? The train left the station.
I'd like to see where this goes.
It's going to go nowhere. Yeah, Flanders. I am right here right now talking, saying what's next.
Daniel Bryan is now the betting odds favorite to win the Royal Rumble.
One of. He got the. Granted, we're still 2 weeks away. So
was Jey Uso the one that made that list?
I was going to segue it like that.
There was a. Because, I mean, there's still 2 weeks out. There's still a lot of time. But a lot of, like, the betting sites that do this every year, which last year, they were right.
Like, that's insane.
The betting odds sites, like, predicted the winner correctly. I think the last, like, it was Orton.
Jesus.
Yeah, I think
we got the worms match.
Oh, stop it.
I think it was the last two or three years they've actually predicted it correctly.
But in fairness, these odds do change week by week.
Day by day.
Yeah, and then, but the odds become more realistic as we get closer to.
And I don't think he's the favorite, but I think he's like cracked in the top three. Cause I think right now Shinsuke Nakamura is still the favorite to win. And then it's Roman Reigns and then it's Daniel Bryan. But he went from like 66-1 to like 10-1 and 9-1.
Is this name on the list? Because I've heard a lot of people rumbling later. You know what I'm gonna say?
Hulk Hogan?
CM Punk.
No.
Because, and here's why I say that.
I don't know if he's, I mean, I don't, I haven't like looked at the actual lists at all.
They apparently, something happened where Punk used a WWE thing on a tweet and everybody got to talking. Then WWE just did their top 25 Raw moments in history and Punk was number two. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people are going, oh, that's a lot of love given to Punk considering everything that happened. I would love for that to happen, but I don't. If that song just hits
right,
that crowd, that static, you want to hear the biggest applause ever. This,
yeah, that would be insane. But again, at the same time, like Daniel Bryan would be the. I feel like that would be the same. Like someone pointed out, like what if Miz is 29, Daniel Bryan's 30?
What if Cena's 29, CM Punk is 30?
Because every year, everyone does the like. Well, what happens if? Entrant 29 comes out, everyone gets eliminated, and now you just have a minute to build to who's number 30, and they automatically win. Like, okay, you do that, and then number 30, that music hits, and it's just Daniel Bryan.
See, I would
have... The idea that I had to spin it is someone's music hits, but they don't come out, and then the cameras go back, and it's like they're laid out, and then Daniel Bryan's just screaming at a tech guy, play my music.
Oh, like he lost it?
Yeah, no,
and just
it's a SmackDown guy. Like, yeah. It's Shane McMahon, who was supposed to be number 30, or AJ Styles, or something right. Someone like that. AJ Styles wouldn't be in it.
If our armchair booker, and it's Daniel Bryan, I agree with you. I would have Shane McMahon or The Miz.
But you can't have him. But my problem with mine is you can't have him come back as a heel. No one would boo Daniel Bryan.
Well, that's why I say have it be The Miz or somebody that he has history with that he hates, mm-hmm. and have that where he's the 29th guy or whatever, but he's the last one in the ring. He eliminates the last guy, and then you have a minute of him pacing who's going to come out. Then when Bryan's music hits, again, the stadium will lift off the ground and fly into heaven.
And it won't be because Braun is flipping it.
Dude! I actually would love it to be Curt Hawkins at 30. And then Daniel Bryan, like, just murder him in the back.
Lays him out on the way.
Oh, that would be
Or it's
best.
Rey Mysterio again. He gets booed.
Oh, it's Rey Mysterio, and then Bryan kills Rey Mysterio. Not again!
I mean, a Daniel Bryan-Rey Mysterio match at Mania, I would not be opposed to.
If Rey Mysterio came out and they booed him again, he's going, you know what? I'm not coming back again. No, I'm
never
done.
Again.
I'm done. Back in my suitcase, I'm heading back to Lucha. He was never in Lucha.
He was in Lucha Underground.
Yeah, he was in Lucha
Thank
Underground.
Thank God. I was really going to be racist.
I love
there.
When...
I apologize. No, he was going back to Lucha.
2-3 weeks ago, was any worse? It's like the Royal Rumble. I'm not finishing the joke.
Stop it. Moving on. Raw 25 is next week.
Yep.
We got more names announced. The only ones that I heard was the Brooklyn Brawler and Sergeant Slaughter, which I'm excited about because I'm a longtime Sergeant Slaughter fan. Back when he started in the Joes, when he defended our freedom. And then he defended the title against Hulk Hogan in one of the most... Like, you've heard Sergeant Slaughter's stories, right, of when he turned Iraqi sympathizer?
Yeah.
How they had to, like, escort him out of buildings?
They had to escort him out of buildings.
Out of towns?
They switched WrestleMania, whatever that one was, when they wrestled each other. They had to switch it to a smaller venue because of security threats. It's really because you couldn't sell tickets. But you
That's
used
a better
that.
Story.
Yeah. Like,
Oh, I want to blame that on Hogan because
also,
I love Slaughter more.
Well, yeah. That was also when people were turning on Hogan more and more. But,
So basically, Sergeant Slaughter was Captain
Jericho
America,
was and,
when he turned
like,
Iraqi, everyone hated him legitimately.
They did a bunch of new names, but yeah, Chris Jericho is coming off of Wrestle Kingdom. That's awesome. I'm so excited.
I want him to wear the alpha trunks if he's doing a match.
I want him to come in and say, anybody doing anything cool lately?
That would be actually pretty Jericho. But also, they announced a bunch of women returning.
Trish Stratus. So happy.
Whoa, Kelly, sir.
That shocked me a little bit, honestly.
I have a list. Oh. Bella Twins, Jacqueline, Terry Runnels, Tori Wilson, Maria Kanellis, Michelle McCool, and Kelly.
Of that, who was the most surprising? I said Kelly, but really Terry Runnels is the one that makes me go,
yeah.
Wow.
Terry, Tori, and even Jacqueline, I'm kind of surprised to see.
Well, Jacqueline's a Hall of Famer.
And Tori, yeah, I always, again.
Again,
like,
you don't know who's in it. Yeah.
And they've shown Tori more than once when she's in the crowd at like a Raw or whatever, because she goes to the events mm-hmm. sometimes. But Terry Runnels, man, Terry Runnels is Goldust's ex-wife.
Goldust is still
on valet.
Yeah, she used to be Marlena. Back when Goldust was at, I thought, his best, yeah. That the original run where he was the creepy movie guy, that was... Ooh.
It was good.
Yeah, I get the shivers when I think about it. But she hasn't been seen in forever. She also invented something in WWE that I'm not going to talk too much about, but you can't deny that it was a thing. Her outfit was the underboob.
Yeah.
It really was. Yeah. And like in the most... Because at that time, see, now WWE is really respectful towards women. But back at the time, they were very disrespectful.
Comparatively, yeah. Also, I think, I don't know if she still is, but she dated New Jack for a while.
That ended very badly.
Oh, it did?
Oh, yeah.
We're going to have to have a conversation.
Where he was threatening to release photos and videos of her. Which, by the way, if you haven't kept up with the show, New Jack is also a gigantic piece of shit.
What?
Yeah. Really? And honestly, like the one, because I was never a really big fan of her, but it's cool to see Michelle McCool.
Yeah,
come back.
I wish Layla was there too.
Cool
reunion.
Just do a full on Lake Cool reunion would be.
Michelle McCool is also the Undertaker's wife.
Oh. That's why that one's not shocking.
Oh no, I'm not saying it's shocking, but it's like she is very much ever since she retired. I can't think of a single time she's appeared for WWE.
I can't either.
Like at least off the top of my head, I'm sure it might have happened, but
also you, I know you and your boyfriend. There's a bit of an age gap there. She is like 20 plus years younger than the Undertaker, so that should give you hope. Moving on. The next story.
You have the list.
So
yeah,
quiet.
But so you're looking at it. I'm not.
I'm sorry you made an awkward comment. We're not going to fill in the gaps for you.
The MMC began.
Mixed match challenge.
Yep.
Anybody watch it?
No, but no. I did see that Finn and Sasha won, and I heard it was a pretty good match. And
I watched it.
How was it?
I enjoyed it. The cool thing is it was Facebook Live. So, and I actually put this in the group chat a little bit. Right at 9 o'clock when it started, it was already at 100,000, or it was like a 94, and then within 5 minutes it was at 105, and then it just kept climbing. I think it got up to like one. I think the highest I saw it was 127.
Did they tape this aired last night?
Yeah, it was live. I don't know if they did it at SmackDown. I'm assuming it had to have been SmackDown. Did 205 Live start late?
I don't know.
Okay, I didn't know. I assumed I'd ask. But, yeah, no, it started, I mean, it was Facebook Live, so I'm assuming it was a live thing.
Big arena? Or did it look like a
house show?
I mean,
it was the SmackDown. It was the SmackDown.
Oh, it really was the SmackDown. Yeah. Okay.
And I mean, the match was fun. Getting to see these people interact. The only thing I don't like, there's a lot of face heel teams. So you had Nakamura and Natalya. Natalya trying her damnedest to do the Nakamura hand thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then Shinsuke trying to be like, no, it's like, no, I got it. And then doing it again. There also was an adorable, like, Snapchat video where they had the cat filter on Nakamura and Natalya. Like, because they were doing, like, a bunch of it's fun. Like, it was just, and it was a cool match. Like,
I saw the thing where Sasha dove out at Shinsuke and he catches her and just, like, puts her down on the apron.
And apologizes, just like,
but then he does the hand thing. Yeah.
He's so weird.
Yeah.
Oh, there was an amazing moment where Corey Graves, because Corey Graves was doing the commentary for it, where Natalya broke up a pin or something like that, or did something, and they're not supposed, like, the genders aren't supposed to touch at all. Like, and then so Nakamura goes for the pin, and Sasha Banks just full out axe handles him in the stomach to break the pin up. And you just hear Corey Graves, disqualify him now. It's not in the rules. And the ref was like, she was breaking up a pin.
How was Beth Phoenix?
It wasn't egregious. There was like, it was a good commentary team. It wasn't like, JR Lita levels.
We had fears.
Yeah, no, it was solid.
So they also did a thing that I'm not a fan of. They named who every team is actually wrestling for.
Oh, charity-wise?
Oh, so and that means they're going to hand out so much money.
Well, every team is getting like $10,000, I think, and then the winning team gets $100,000, but it's that thing we talked about. It's like, it's hard to like, okay, yeah, so you're wrestling for this cause. oh, well, you didn't win, so you're not getting the money.
I think, yeah.
Natalia, it's cool that they're still getting, it's cool that they're still giving everybody something.
Yeah, because this isn't a real fight where, like, they're actually fighting for the charity. It's all predetermined.
Also, I think Nia Jax and Apollo Crews, they're either Susan Komen or Connor's Cure.
Connor's Cure is Alexa Bliss and Braun, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, well, we got our winner.
And that's the thing is, it's like, okay, so they're clearly going to do, both of those teams are very, clearly going to do very well.
Not surprised for Braun and Alexa, surprised that it's Apollo and Nia, though.
Right.
My favorite promos coming out of it, though, besides the New Day stuffing Carmella in a dryer.
Didn't they catch Francesca and whatever her name for the briefcase is in bed in a hotel?
I think.
What?
Well, that wasn't on the show.
No, it wasn't on the show. It was on like their Instagram. But
my favorite promos are by A Country Mile, Miz and Asuka.
We're going to win because we're Asuka. Love it.
Yeah.
I need to watch that now. Yeah, you guys got me all jazzed.
The mixed match challenge, it's a good time. I like
it. Also, apparently this is the same people who are running NXT, so it's not a Kevin Dunn thing.
That's cool.
So I don't know if that's something you've noticed. That's Bucky, like, right? Yeah.
Jesus.
As Cornette likes to lovingly refer to him.
Big butt. I can't do Cornette's. No, because the F word gets
too many F words, yeah.
It's the only time I like Cornette.
Botchamania's Matthew hosted or is hosting a Cultaholic podcast.
Yeah, I think it's like they're doing a weekly podcast.
I haven't listened to it yet.
I like Matt. Well, I like Botchamania. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I like Matthew. I like his humor.
Yeah.
And in fairness, it's the Cultaholic guys that aren't Adam Blampier because he's not there anymore. And those other guys besides the King gimmick was really annoying.
Boy, I hated that guy.
Yeah, he's still there. But like,
is he really?
Yeah.
Oh.
It was those personalities, but those guys aren't bad. Cultaholic hasn't been bad as a whole. It's just weird whenever I have Cultaholic and What Culture fall at the same time, because I don't know whose list are whose, because they still do the same shtick.
I've become not a fan of What Culture since they left. Like, I've seen some of their videos, and they're so antagonistic at this point.
I love Simon Miller.
I don't know which one he is.
The bald one. The one that's actually training to be a wrestler.
See, this one didn't have – this was not a wrestling one. This was just a movie type. It was a paranormal thing, and it was shit.
It's Watch Mojo with an edge. That's all it is.
Very edgy. You're right on that. All right. Let's talk about Raw and SmackDown. And let's talk – the first thing, I'm over Braun Strowman almost. At this point, I can't help it. I don't know how. He picked up a semi.
Yeah.
Ambulance has got too light.
That's so stupid.
Are you telling me you're not excited for his WrestleMania match against Optimus Prime?
No, I want to see that match.
That was actually a lot of fun.
I saw that. That was the best. Like, I see kayfabe news. I'm like, I love you guys.
But that whole Raw thing with him, like, you can have him destroy stuff. You can have him break people. That's fine. But when he's picking up semis and throwing them, come on.
That production truck is worth $12 million.
Oh, my God.
Oh, Kurt, don't. Just don't.
That's literally all I wanted to say about Raw and SmackDown. So
that was my.
I loved it. Like, I didn't like him trying to fire. Like, I didn't like.
I talked to Stephanie. You're not fired.
Yeah, I didn't like that.
What a reward.
All of that was kind of dumb. But no, just I'm not leaving until everybody catches these hands.
That's great.
The guy frozen in fear after the referee comes running in screaming that he's headed this way. And like, he's just holding the cake. And Strowman just takes a piece of the cake, takes a bite, puts it down, and the dude's just looking dead, he thinks Strowman's a T-Rex.
That's good.
If he doesn't move.
I don't move, he won't hurt.
That's in the world of believability. But when he picks up a semi,
I will.
Did you see the single shot of that?
The single shot?
Like, so instead of it being like every half a second, there's a different cut, the steady just one shot of him.
I saw there was an alternate take, but I haven't seen it.
Yeah, it's.
Are you trying to tell me he really picked that semi up?
I mean, you don't see the top. You still don't see like the top of it.
You don't see and or hear the car that's driving that way.
Right.
He's pushing.
Boomhauer's driving.
It's from a different angle. So you see, it's like a profile.
Yeah. Oh, it's a little side. Bit of, yeah.
It's a, but so you have the headlights of the semi, but they're kind of at an angle, but you still see the front end of the semi. So there's clearly nothing behind it. And you see underneath it, so it's not like there's something where it's
like a hydraulic or something.
Yeah, there's not a hydraulic underneath it. That said, there could be something up top. I'm not saying the man could flip a semi, but at this point, I'm willing to believe.
So the only reason that I'm going to give it a pass and not just go, oh, I hated it so much.
Because it's Braun Strowman?
It was, and because immediately after, he walked in front of Kurt Angle and went, "Raw!"
Which is amazing. At this point, how is he not just pick up the ring and hit Kane and Brock Lesnar with it?
I did whenever I walked in Tuesday morning. I did look at Shannon and Hunter and said, so they jumped a shark with Braun.
Yeah, because like, and if they haven't already, they're dangerously close. Like, I mean,
no, they have.
You have to pull Braun Strowman back at this point. You're in danger, and they're
going to at the Royal Rumble. Like, he won't get pinned, but like they're going to do something where he's murdered again.
Braun?
Yeah, maybe they'll do two trash compactors. They'll put him in a trash compactor and then put that trash compactor
in a bigger trash compactor. And that trash compactor's name? Optimus Prime.
Got to set that feud up.
Yeah. I also on Raw, the Revival cut their promo about how we're not sports entertainers. We're wrestlers.
Man, that got a pop.
I'm so excited.
They're going to get popped in the mouth.
I can't wait to see the APA just shit all over them.
Or DX. Or both.
Well, also, Kevin Nash has said he's, even though he was advertised, he's not going to be there. He just had knee replacement surgery, and he's like, yeah, getting in and out, like, dealing with airports and planes healthy is enough of a hassle. This would just be torture. So
I think next week would
be. I'll see you at Mania.
Next week would be the best time to bring back Hulk Hogan, just as a one-off.
It would be a great way for them to bring back and be like, oh, but we're missing someone. And then you can have all of his stuff back on the network. You can stop pretending that he doesn't exist.
Right.
That said,
and then
like,
avoid the Rumble.
But as a one-off, no, stop it.
No, I'm saying he'll avoid the Rumble by being there next week.
And then win the Rumble.
No. I don't want that. I want Braun Strowman to win everything.
Yes.
Because who can beat him? He can pick up.
Cedric Alexander.
Pick up the arena. They're going to CG a part where he picks up the arena and pulls a kitten out and hands it to an old lady and says, "Here you go."
Then he turns the arena upside down and dumps the last person, technically over the top rope, and then he climbs in and wins. Braun Strowman. This is the first year that I genuinely have no idea who's going to win the Royal Rumble because Big Show hasn't been announced. Like, if they had announced Big Show, who could possibly put the Big Show over the top rope?
The bit wasn't funny 2 years ago. The bit wasn't funny.
What are you
last
talking about?
Year.
Bit.
Bit's
he's
not funny
7
this year.
Feet tall and 500 pounds.
He's a monster.
He sure
and now
is
he's like
Meg.
So much leaner. Like who could? Braun's not in the Rumble. He's in the championship match.
You know who could? You know who could take Big Show out of the Rumble?
Who?
Shaq.
No, I don't think he could because that would be terrible. Because
he won't show up.
No.
He's too busy eating Oreos.
Wiggling with that cat.
I'm glad they remembered the Revival exists like 3 weeks after they re-debuted.
Right, just
no
to
reason.
Feed them to some random that, old tag team.
I hope that doesn't. Maybe they beat the shit out of the APA. I'd watch that.
Or the Rock and Roll Express. Midnight Express.
That would be less fun.
Because
I don't like when bad things happen to old people.
The APA are old.
The APA are old, buddy.
Yeah, but they also...
Well, they're older.
They also don't look like...
The Rock and Roll Express.
They would shatter at any moment. Did you see Tag Team Apocalyptico?
I was about to say, they fought a volcano and survived.
Yeah, and they looked real bad. Whereas I feel like the APA could... And I don't mean, like, disrespect, but, like, no, they should not be wrestling right now.
They still are.
I know they are. I'm saying they should not be.
Also, let's talk just for a second about the return of the curb stomp.
On Martin Luther King Jr. Day.
Whoop, whoop!
1 year after is it the 1 year anniversary when Seth Rollins hit it on Big E? No, that's been a couple years now.
Because
that's also a thing that happened. It was been way more than a year because it was Shield Seth Rollins.
I don't really mind this as a finisher as long as no one's getting hurt.
Oh,
I really don't.
No, again, like it's a great finisher.
But damn, did it look like Finn Balor got hurt.
Yeah, especially because that really awkward closing of Raw with him like struggling to get up.
That was brutal. But I think they're telling a really great story with this in that Seth Rollins could be, is this a heel turn? Like, is he starting to become more like Jason Jordan? Like, where Jordan's... You see Rollins is trying to pull him back constantly.
But I don't think it is because Jason Jordan, like, what led up to the curb stomp was Jason Jordan tripping Finn Balor.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, is Seth Rollins going to, like, actually befriend Jason Jordan? Is he desperate to win the match so bad that he resorted to using the curb stomp again?
I'm reading it the other way where it's Seth Rollins feels like he's being hampered by Jason Jordan, so now he just wants to end the match. He's just like,
now if he has to feel like he has to just go out,
F it, I'm finished.
But it's a great finisher.
I mean, it's a lot better than the Rip Courtney, like,
which is my wrestler's finisher.
But at the same time,
you mean the knee?
You mean the Kingslayer? You mean
King's Landing?
The King's Landing. You mean?
No, it's just the knee. They only ever call it the knee.
It's a lethal weapon, like Steve Blackman.
Oh, I miss him.
What are you saying, Dom?
I'm good.
What happened on SmackDown? Because I don't know anything about that.
Bobby Roode's U.S. champ.
He won the title? I thought that was that.
Yeah, we all did.
So, yeah, it was supposed to be like in 2 weeks. And then, because Jinder beat Xavier Woods, just the most booze possible. And then Bobby Roode beat Mojo Rawley. And then the Singh brothers like immediately attacked Roode. Rude just challenges Mahal to a match, and he's like, no, on my time. And then was it Daniel Bryan?
It was Bryan.
Comes out, and he's like, I'll tell you what, let's just do it tonight.
The epitome of F it.
Like, yeah, that's hot-shotting.
Because, not even hot-shotting, it's just like that kind of seems like, I mean, yes, Bobby Roode wants the match, but he's at a disadvantage, and I don't know if they're just trying to build up that, like, underdog
how tough he
baby
is.
Face thing. Yeah. But it's like, but as a face GM, that's something that that Roode would need to fight for. Like, he needs to go into the office begging and pleading and demanding the match.
Not just be given to him.
Not just be like, I guess, tell you what. Right. Yeah, you just got beat down 3-on-1, and, you know, Mojo was targeting your ribs, and so you're hurt already. Yeah, you fight for the championship.
I would have rather seen Jinder won, honestly. Because I think Jinder works better with a U.S. title than he would with the world title. Plus, this means that he's open to now go back for the world title. And I'd like to keep him just in the mid-card somewhere.
I don't think he's going to.
You think that's over? The experiment's done?
And honestly, I feel like this is probably going to be the first feud anyway. I think this is your placeholder feud until Ziggler comes back for Mania.
Did he leave for any particular reason?
No, he's just said, so you didn't remember me when I was giving my everything in the ring and was still going out there for you. You didn't remember me, like you didn't talk about me whenever I was ripping off all the entrances and being flashy because that's what you people want. So maybe you'll remember this. And he lays the U.S. title in the ring and just leaves.
Comes back with the title.
And then, yeah. And so you have like the U.S. versus you, maybe. And then it's that thing we talked about a few weeks ago.
It might bring a new belt.
The rumored
Ziggler shows up.
New design of the U.S. title, which would be cool.
Anything else on SmackDown?
I'm trying to think, but not like the Riot Squad beat insert faces here. Because of
that's
course,
a solid
because
name.
Just back and because it's just the back and forth because they lost last week.
Yeah,
what they should do is they should have Ruby Riott wrestle in Absolution, but not tell anybody.
AJ cut a really unfortunate promo.
Really,
it just was not good.
Oh, I thought you meant he said something that
the team of offensive. Sammy and Kevin is now called Cammy, and Kevin's fat. So that's a thing that happened.
Did you guys see that tumbleweed?
Yeah, I mean it was on Tuesday.
It's still here. It's just blowing around.
Tag team program continued between Gable and Benjamin and the Usos.
They jumped them from behind during their promo.
During an interview, yeah.
The Gable and Jordan attack. Gable and Benjamin attacked the Usos during their.
Where they were getting themselves confused. No, you were Jimmy last time. I'm Jay. Like, no, I'm Jimmy.
And then it he pulls was so his much mugshot out and goes, no, that's me. I remember this. Wait, I don't remember this, so it is me.
Yeah, I don't think anything else is, like, super newsworthy happened.
No, I think we're good.
I think the most egregious thing is that they went back to the Kevin's fat thing. That's bothering me.
Yeah, it's annoying.
Like,
it's,
that's so stupid. Lazy. And that's bullying. Like, and I don't want to be like, I'm sure Kevin's like, whatever. Like, I'm sure maybe it doesn't bother him, but, like, that's the laziest writing of, oh, that guy's fat.
Right.
You might as well say, oh, well, that guy's a foreign. Oh, yeah, they do. Shit.
Because it was mostly, like, the show was mostly focused around the U.S. Championship, because that took up, like, 3 or 4 segments.
Which is good, because it deserves to be shown how important it is.
Yeah.
You know, everybody should want the title. If you're in wrestling, you should want the title. That's the biggest thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Anyway. I think that's it, other than none of us got to go to Stride, Asa.
Right.
And.
Well, so normally we would do like a show recap for Stride, right. But we weren't there this past weekend.
Due to weather.
Like, you guys had to work. Yeah. I'd heard by too many people that the roads were still pretty rough and my car doesn't handle that well. So we weren't able to make it. But Kevin Huntsberger, who is the ring announcer for Stride, his blog, the My 1-2-3 Cents.
Great blog. He has a great guy.
He has a podcast up that's kind of detailing all of the first round of the Stride Cup, the championship matches that happened, Lane.
Bye, Lane.
Pour some out for our fallen homie.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
He doesn't listen to this. Yes.
He does. Remember when Billy called him a bitch or whatever? And
yes. No. Yes.
No. But go check it out at My123Cents, and you can listen to it on his podcast.
It's on Facebook. Yeah. It's on his Facebook. Like, so, yeah.
Plus, you should be listening to it anyway.
You should.
If you're listening to this show and you're not listening to My123Cents or at least visiting his blog, there's something wrong and you need to fix that.
Yeah. Go back in his archives. I think there's two really attractive guest hosts he had in for one show. It was a good listen.
Who?
Asa and myself.
The Ass and Dayton Show? I'm now the enemy. I apologize. No, I loved Ace on that show.
Okay, Sean.
Shane.
Sean?
Shane?
Shane. Oh, I get the smelly guys.
Yeah.
The ones that smelled like rusted pennies and maggots.
Yeah. Allie, we love you. Just like Sarah. What's up, Shane?
I don't know what you're going for.
I don't know what this bit is
Shane,
anymore.
Shane, I mean, yeah, it's fine. It's fine. Shane is not my name. Okay. We're going to get out of here. We'll be back tomorrow with,
PZ85 After Dark.
Thank you.
Did you forget?
Yeah. It's ever since the
really?
Pennsylvania
you forgot,
trip.
You forgot the name of the show?
It's the,
and on today, the Rusevest of Rusev days.
Yesterday was Rusev day.
Every day is Rusev day.
Allie, take us out.
Happy Rusev day.
Fuck!